prophet Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 15, God speaks to the prophet and says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. The role of shepherd in the church is one most often ascribed to the priest and the bishop, those who, standing in the person of Christ, the head, leads the body, the church. The job description goes something like this: very smart, but not arrogant. Always available, but always praying. Attractive, but not too handsome. Great at every sport, yet so bad that he makes everybody else feel good. A wise and faithful teacher, yet simple enough to take the advice of everyone else. Marriage counselor, though he's unmarried. Father, though he has no children. Teacher, though he has no degree in education. And the list goes on and on. The role of the shepherd is one filled with quite a bit of irony. You, the faithful, know you have great expectations, and deservedly so, of your priests. We're here for you. That's the whole reason we're ordained. And yet, in these roles of ironies, we have ever present before us the example of the one true shepherd, the one high priest, Jesus Christ. Now, I can promise you it's not easy this morning as we gather on Good Shepherd Sunday, a Sunday which the church sets aside to talk about priesthood, to gather on the World Day of Vocations, in which the church sets aside to talk about the promotion of vocations to the priesthood, on Mother's Day. But I'll do just that. Because the church didn't ask me to preach about mothers. I do that a lot, and most of you know that. She gets a lot of attention in my homilies, my biological mother, and my spiritual mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today, dear friends, I want to focus on three images of the shepherd, three images of the priest, each from the sacred scriptures before us. Firstly is the image of Christ, the shepherd and priest, who lays down his life and sacrifice. In the letter of St. Peter, what do we see? St. Peter exhorts the faithful, "For this, to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps." And so firstly, I ask you a very odd request. Pray that I and every priest and bishop will die. Die to ourselves and our selfish desires. Selflessness permits us as priests to serve you. Selflessness permits us to be a father, available every moment of every day, to be a teacher, a counselor, one who sanctifies us through the sacraments, to be a confessor, to be a friend, to be a baseball coach, to be a frisbee player. But we need to die to ourselves. And so I ask you, pray that I and my brother priests may die. Priesthood is not selfish. It can be lived in a very selfish way. We see the image in the gospel of the shepherd who is not really caring for his sheep. Jesus calls him a thief and a liar. A priest who doesn't live a life for his faithful, but lives a life for himself. To lay down his life is the role of the priest. When we're ordained, the words are said, "You will pray on behalf of and for the people of God." That's the fundamental vocation as priest, to be another Christ, an alter Christus, to stand on behalf of God for you and to lead you to God. And we do this most explicitly through our prayer. And so I have a second favor to ask. Pray that you see your priests praying more. Not just out and about talking and sharing and telling all the funny stories and the best jokes and going to every party. Pray that your priest puts his butt in the pew and prays and looks at the heart of Christ to know his life as a priest. The second image we see of the shepherd and priest is one who leads his flock. Now, we've been very fortunate and blessed here in this parish for so many years to have shepherds who are not afraid to teach, who are not afraid to preach, who are not afraid to correct error. We see in this image of Acts, what was St. Peter doing? He wasn't out there telling everybody, go on sinning and feeling great about all your sins. He said, no, let the whole house of Israel know that God has made Lord in Christ this Jesus whom you crucified. Turn away from your evil ways. What are we to do? He says, repent and be baptized. This is the role of the priest. He must be zealous for souls. Not zealous to hear himself preach, not zealous to offer courses that people will come to, not zealous that people will prefer him over another, zealous for every soul. The souls of the great saints and the souls of the poorest sinners. And so I ask you again, pray for me and my brothers, that we teach and correct error to lead you, the flock, into the sheepfold. That we not have any fear of the world, because we know the world will lose this battle. Good will win. But that we as shepherds will lead you heroically, and by the example we set, that we will be men who study, who don't just get a degree and then stop looking at our books. We're not very wise, I can promise you. It takes a lot of help to keep us up. That we will not be afraid to preach the hard truths, because the truth is what Christ came to teach. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not a lie. He's not death. He is truth and life. And so pray. Please pray that your priests will not be afraid to teach and preach. And finally, the third image. That like a shepherd, priests will give life more abundantly. In the gospel, we hear these words. I came so that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The priest is to be life-giving, even when he is having to correct, or even when he is having to rebuke, even when he has having to forgive sins. That's a time to give life, not a time of sadness and despair. And in this relationship, I want to talk about the role of mothers. Many of you have had the joy of meeting my mother, Helen, who gave me my faith. She is the Catholic one. We're still working on Dad. And my mother, like our Blessed Mother, bore me in her womb and brought me to the church so that my life could be set aside for God. Every mother has this responsibility to their child. Every mother, whether biological or spiritual, every mother has the responsibility of leading their children to God and giving them life in the church. And very practically, this really means the responsibility to get your children baptized, to see that they reach life in the sacraments fully initiated, receiving Holy Communion, receiving confirmation. Mothers are such good shepherds when they live their life as mothers. Our Blessed Mother set the greatest example of this by guiding her son, by being an example of witness and faith and fidelity to the gospel, to the good news that he was bringing. Mothers show us the maternal side of God and show us the care of a shepherd, because she does not rebuke us with hatred or with vengeance. She tenderly leads us and guides us. Mary, the Queen of Priests, the Mother of Mothers, is the one who guides all of us as priests. The deep love with which our Blessed Mother has for her priests cannot be overlooked. Saint John Paul II said this about the role of mothers. Said, mothers in particular, be generous in giving their sons to the Lord when he calls them to the priesthood. May they cooperate joyfully in their vocational journey, realizing that in this way they will be increasing and deepening their Christian fruitfulness in the church, and that in a sense, they will experience the blessedness of Mary, the Virgin and Mother. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Mothers show us priests how to give life abundantly. And their simple example of dying to themselves daily in service to their children. So thank you, mothers, for your example. And please don't be afraid to mother your priests occasionally. Not always. A priest doesn't need 2,000 moms. But he needs the love of his mother. I'm fortunate. Mine lives 40 miles away. Most of our priests don't have that liberty. That maternal instinct is there for a reason. But remember also that just like Mary, her son preached to her. Her son taught her. And don't be afraid to let your priests teach you and help you along the way. When we pray for vocations to the priesthood, some will say, why not mention married life and deacons and religious? We pray for those people all the time, very explicitly, throughout the year. It's very hard for a priest to talk about his priesthood because it seems selfish and self-interested. We don't exist without the priesthood of Christ. Our church, our sacraments, our life does not exist without his priesthood. He gives us shepherds in the world to guide us, to get us through the sheepfold. And so we thank God for priests one day a year. We thank God for the gift of their vocations to the priesthood. We ask you to pray for them explicitly. Pray for them that they may die to themselves so that they may live for you. Pray for them that they will lead by teaching an example of their own life and in their preaching, not for their own salvation, but for your salvation. Pray for them that they may desperately love their mother, their biological mother, and their mother in heaven. If you do this, I promise you'll have shepherds you can believe in. You'll have shepherds you can trust. You'll have shepherds who can be handsome but not too handsome, who can be good teachers but not too smart, who can be humble enough to admit their wrongs, and who desire only to give you life abundantly. We pray to the Lord of harvests. We pray to the Shepherd of shepherds, Jesus Christ, the great high priest, that he will give us more priests after his own heart. Alleluia, alleluia.